KX93.5 on a perfect, what I think is a perfect rainy Thursday morning. I love days like this. I really do. I've got with me, and we have the good fortune with us this morning of having Joe Lauderdale and Bree Burgess Rosen. They are taking part in the No Square Theaters production of Annie. Does it get any cooler during the holidays than checking out Annie? Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Morning.
We're good. We're less flammable this morning, so we're good. Loving that rain.
Every raindrop is one less flame. That's good. I like that, Bree. So Annie at the No Square Theater. So it's running weekends until the weekend of December 22nd. Correct.
Correct. All right. Although we don't have a show this Friday because it's Light Up Laguna. It's Santa's coming down Forest. So
right.
So we don't have a show this Friday, but we'll have two on Saturday. Okay. And then one on Sunday. So.
Wow, really pushing those performers. Two shows on Saturday.
They're up to it. We've got a really great cast. I mean,
we do.
Really,
and that's
powerful.
The real world anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
Eight shows a week.
There you go. That is the real. Thank you. That's how it's done. That's
right.
How it's supposed to be done.
The
right.
Way it's done. Yes.
So what time are the shows on Saturday?
2 o'clock and 7 o'clock.
Okay, so this coming Saturday, you can catch Annie at the No Square Theater at 2 p.m. for the early show and 7 p.m. for the later show.
And then there's a 2 o'clock on Sunday as well.
All right, this sounds great. Now, tell me about the cast here. How tough is it? Now, I imagine as a director, Joe, I think that your day, here's how I imagine your day. You get up around noon, right? You're in your red velvet and black velvet bathrobe, and you're another cigar and more coffee. Is that how your day starts?
Well, the noon is right. The bathrobe is a different color of velvet.
Okay.
And I don't drink tea, and I don't smoke.
It's lots of tea for me.
All right. I thought I was close.
You were very close.
My image of a director.
You were very close. The way it is.
So tell me about this cast and how tough is it putting something like this together?
Well, Joe is the director, and Joe put together a powerhouse cast. And he's always a casting wizard. And he has a way of really seeing in, a very brief period of time when someone is auditioning what they've got to bring to it. And not only do we have a lot of talent in this cast, the cast has such remarkable chemistry. And we saw that on opening night. Opening night, it was extraordinary. It was one of my favorite things to see in theater, which is when the whole cast comes together as a family. Right. And a lot of people, there were mistakes made, lines forgotten and things like that. And nothing, as I said, lines were dropped, but they never hit the floor.
Yeah.
Because the rest of the cast was just part of the storytelling from start to finish. And it was really quite remarkable. I've been in shows that lasted, that ran for months and months before a cast got to that level. So it was pretty fabulous. And then, of course, Saturday, the nerves were gone and everything was good to go.
Yeah, the bonding that happened really kind of surprised me. Maybe because I was sitting taking notes.
Right.
That I didn't get a chance to feel that until the next day when all of them were, kind of energized and, ready to get back on stage again. And they're close, which is fantastic.
Now, the audience can feel that. When you sit in the audience, you feel that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's a very intimate theater. Right. I mean, we're in, inside Legion Hall. It's a little space.
I love going there. I absolutely do.
As a performer, it's intimidating because, the audience is right there in your face.
Right.
But this cast, and they have to honor fourth wall, which is that imaginary barrier between the storytelling that's happening on the stage and the audience's reality in 2018.
Hi.
And it's more difficult to do, especially for children, when the audience is just right there.
Right.
But Joe's he's only beaten them with a few chairs.
broke a few chairs and an old-fashioned
whip.
Yardstick.
Oh, a yardstick.
So
right.
I didn't get out the whip.
Yeah.
The yardstick. So that was a Catholic school thing. Yeah.
Yeah, we have a whip and a chair that's right there available to all of our directors.
So did you change it a little bit to make it fit today?
No.
Just strictly the way that we saw it as kids.
Yes.
All right,
yes.
I love
1933,
that.
The Depression.
Right.
But it is not necessarily what one might expect from a typical Annie. In that, because we're in a small space,
right.
It focuses more on storytelling and character relationships rather than big musical numbers that dance and sing and all of that stuff. So it becomes a more intimate story. Bree had wanted to do it for a long time, mm-hmm. and because it is a well-written piece.
It's perfect. A really
perfect.
Strong.
It's really perfection. Is. It really
yeah.
is.
It's a strong
People
show.
Think of it as a kid's show, and it isn't a kid's show. It's a family show, right. but it's not a kid's right. show.
It's pretty dark. I always thought, I find the undertones to be yes. fairly dark.
There are some yeah. dark Absolutely. Statements. Yeah. There are some, when Sandy comes out, the dog that we have, Kipling, who is just adorable, right. and Kipling comes out, and he's... And Gary Green is playing a police officer, and he grabs the dog, and he then tells Annie, after she proves the dog is hers, he tells Annie that the next time he sees her, the dog has to be on a leash, otherwise it'll go to the pound and they'll put it to sleep. And it's like, eh.
Yeah.
like,
yes.
it's really, and I looked at him, I said, that's a terrible line. He says, I know there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it is during the Depression. There's a reality there right. to it. And right. But it's, gosh, it's there have been so many really dreadful productions of Annie that people have seen because right. there are all these kid versions. And I know with some of my voice students years back, they did what they called Camp Annie, which was a completely illegal production of Annie. And it was just awful.
A
I mean,
farce.
It was painful.
It was a farce.
No,
Terrible.
It was the real Annie, but it was so bad it was a farce.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of productions of Annie out there. And you see them being done, Annie Jr., you see them being done at you know, with kids' theaters and at junior
Thousands
high schools.
Thousands of little girls dancing
yeah,
on the
and
stage.
That's just not what this show is. I right. mean, the reason the show has such legs and has been such a powerhouse for, you know, decades and had films and revivals and everything else is because it's a really well-written show. It's got a great story, and the score is just beautiful. And, of course, it's that story that is so... Like you said, is there anything better than doing seeing Annie at Christmas?
No, no.
And it's just such a positive message, right. even with all that darkness and all that right. difficulty. The message of Annie is so positive.
It's such a payoff. It really
it
is.
It is a payoff.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well said, yeah.
You get to the very end of the show, and when they sing the last song, New Deal for Christmas, it's just, it's powerful, and it's very uplifting.
And it's poignant, you know, that the bad guys had the bad, you know, got caught, and the good guys got rewarded. And that's, you know, that's what we all hope for in the world.
Right.
And we don't always get it. And you can usually count on a musical to bring it to you, but this one in particular is a jewel.
Yeah.
Joe, you were going to talk about the cast.
Oh, I was? Oh.
Yeah.
as Bree said, we have a really strong cast. Some of the cast members are returning from last year, but most of them are new. And so these new actors brought an entirely different energy. And those actors returning, especially our three leading ladies, suddenly had to change what they did from last year based on what the current cast is doing.
Okay.
And I would also shift things around so the actors would come in from last year and go, oh, that's not the same. I would say, no, it's not the same.
It keeps them from getting complacent. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, it's just a new process.
Yes.
Like a new cast.
Yes, it was a new process. And the wonderful thing is when we had a new Warbucks from last year. And Rob... what's Rob's last name?
Harriman,
thank you. Rob Harriman was just Frederick in Little Night Music and just got me every night with his performance.
Such a brilliant actor.
Yeah.
We've always loved Rob for his really beautiful voice.
Right.
He's a powerful musician and a great comic. He's been in The Lunatics for, you know, a dozen years.
Right.
But he's an extraordinary actor.
So glad you could nail him for that. What a great role.
Yeah.
You know?
It is a great role. You know, he didn't see it as a great role to begin with. He kind of had that image, even though he saw last year's Annie and loved it. He just kind of saw it as, you know, that show. And I don't think he realized that Warbucks really has the biggest arc in the show.
Right.
Starts out gruff and then Annie wins him over.
Right.
One of the things that we do not do, which... people have not been disappointed about, is we do not have a bald Daddy Warbucks. We do not have the little, you know, red dress that Annie wears.
Right.
She wears a red dress, but it's not, you know, that red dress.
Right.
And again, it comes back to, in our small space, being about the relationships they develop and not a bald head.
Right.
And the story, we are so far removed now from Little Orphan Annie than we were in the 70s, even when it was first created, that's not really an important part of the story any longer. Imagery
it's a superficiality to the show. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And it adds to a comic book effect, right. But Annie is more than a comic book.
Right. It's a story, a well-told story.
Yes, absolutely. People forget that. Actually, people may never know if they've seen bad productions that it's such a well-written piece of theater.
In leading up to this, and I imagine rehearsals were crazy, a couple of rehearsals a day, right? When do you realize, this is coming together? Was it like the night before opening, or when did you know it was coming together?
That's a difficult
act
question.
Act two opening night. No.
That's right. Yeah.
Act two.
No. You know what? Roxanna Ward, who works with us frequently, and she was the vocal music director in this show. I don't know. 20 years ago, Roxanna and I were looking down what felt like a barrel with a show that was opening in a day. And she said, trust the talent, trust the material. And sometimes as a director, you have to step back and let them take it, because you have rehearsed them, you have instructed them, you have guided them, have directed them, and you cast them because they're talented performers. And you step back, take a deep breath, and in this particular instance, the material is rock solid.
Yes.
And when you have a cast that is talented and that connected to one another, you just have to get out of their way.
Yeah. It's like the 1927 Yankees now. You guys are just killing it.
I don't know the 1927 Yankees, I certainly know the Annie cast.
Trust the reference there, all right?
No, okay, I will believe you on that. And we wanted to do this show for about 8 years.
And I kept saying no.
And Joe kept saying no, because it's a big show.
Right.
I mean, it's a huge show. And Joe kept saying, you're out of your mind. We can't do this show in this little space. And then he was kind of warming up to it. And then he came to me after a couple of years and said, I think we should do Annie. I was like, oh, you know. Yeah. and then it took us years to get the rights to it, because it was touring again and we just couldn't get the rights. So then we applied for the rights for years and years and years and years and years. And we finally got them. We did it last year. And we said, this holiday season show is a nightmare.
Wow.
You know, it just it's so hard for everybody's lives. And Joe said, yeah, unless, you know, what are we going to do this year? And he said, I think nothing unless we do Annie again. And I had my computer in my lap, and I fired off an email to Michael at MTI. And about 5 minutes later, he said, sure, you can do it again. We're like, So that's why we decided to do it twice. It's such a loved show. And last year's show was so brilliant. And I think this year's show is better. And Joe's, we've got a larger cast this year. And
Our community is going to reap the rewards of you two getting together for this show.
Thank you. I'm not kidding.
And I sit at the No Square Theater during Lagoonatics, and I just marvel at how brilliant you are, Bree. I'm not kidding.
Twisted.
Twisted. Yeah. Okay, that's another word for it. Yeah, it's twisted.
Which Bree are you seeing?
That's not the Bree he knows.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Joe Lauderdale and Bree Burgess Rosen, production of Annie happening at the No Square Theater. With the exception of this Friday, weekends through December 22nd.
Correct.
They got two shows on Saturday, 2 o'clock and 7 p.m., correct?
Correct.
What else are we telling these people before we let you guys go?
We have Laguna Tots auditions coming up.
Oh,
and
yes.
That's Laguna Tots is kind of the wicked stepchild of Laguna Ticks. And it's, you know, Laguna Ticks is a parody show that sort of makes fun of all things in Laguna that we hold near and dear. And Laguna Tots is the moral equivalent of that, only for the kids. It makes fun of homework and, you know, state testing and their fitness gram and all the things that, and sisters and brothers and braces and the constant quest for the newest eye product. And and the auditions for that are coming up. They're a week from Monday and Tuesday. And Ella Wyatt is the director of that. And Ella Wyatt writes it now. Last year she wrote all of it. I didn't write a single thing.
What are the ages for Laguna Tots?
From six to, we do like 6 to 14, 6 to 15. It's okay. Elementary school and junior high school.
Okay.
And we used to have high school kids in the show, but the program at the high school under Alexis Carroll is a really wonderful program now, and we don't do anything to take kids out of that program. And as a matter of fact, the school district just moved their spring musical. They're doing Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. And the school calendar just shifted their show, so we're on exactly the same weekends. But we were afraid that they would do that. So we had planned our shows to be on at different times. So when we'll have the same evening show, and then we'll have an afternoon show when they have an evening show, and an evening show when they have an afternoon show, and that kind of thing, so that our kids can go see their show, our Laguna Tots alumni can come to our show, and that sort of thing. But we have that Tots audition coming up. And of course, everybody can get the information for everything we're doing from nosquare.org.
Nosquare.org is the website.
Yep.
Go on it. Check out what you got going. Joe Lauderdale, Bree Burgess-Rosen. This has been a fantastic morning. First of all, I love the story. And I love that that the two of you are together doing this. This town is going to reap the benefits of that show.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. We hope everyone comes out and supports our community actors.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for being here this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.